The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Oh, the madness. Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158, Gil Alexander, Radio's Gil Alexander. And ladies and gentlemen, it's Radio's Kelly Bidlin. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
How was your first day of the madness?
YouTube television's Gil Alexander?
I go with radio. Sounds funnier.
First day of madness was cool. I only had two bets. I literally only bet two games. It was the two we talked about yesterday. Yale, which America's team lost yesterday, it felt like. We went down with that one. And then I had Omaha first to 10. That got home. Those first to 10 bets, man. They are too much fun, because that was, you should have seen me off the couch yelling.
I was gonna lay minus 500 that you yelled Omaha, like, well,
Did you watch the beginning of that game? It was like seven. They got out to like a 7-2 lead, and they just kept jacking up threes, and it's like clank, clank, clank. I'm like, just make one.
That was your big takeaway from yesterday. It was Omaha.
Yeah.
Trying to get
first
to 10.
Tens, man.
By the way, on the show today, it is a Friday. You know what that means on a numbers game. Felica and Fezzik, hour number two. Chris Felica, all his bets. Steve Fezzik, not only his bets, but all of his betting insights and thoughts. Dr. Bob will join us before them today. Dr. Bob with all of his college basketball thoughts. I hope he remembers he's an hour earlier. I should probably text him. Probably do that. Grace Remington will join us with the Vibe Report. I don't know if she's going to be at the pool today at Circus Swim, or she's going to be inside.
In the book.
We saw her yesterday. We're like, let's not let Grace freeze 2 days in a row.
I think so, yeah.
All right. So she'll be in the book today to give us the vibe down at the Circus Sportsbook right behind us. And then before that, a little Jason Weingarten as well. I just want to go through these real quick one by one yesterday, just like in 5 seconds each. You ready for this? So Creighton Louisville tipped off yesterday, and Creighton just ran them out. Remember with the formula, every week we have the isolated teams that are, you know, that qualify to win the championship based on our tried and true formula through the years. We did four iterations of it this year. Louisville at one point was on the outside looking in. They just got rolled by Creighton. Creighton beats them by 14. Purdue beats High Point by 12. That torpedoed a lot of people's popular High Point plus the points pick. And it looked like that was in cover position most of that game until Purdue got there at the end. Wisconsin blows out Montana. Houston, after somewhat of a slow start, crushes SIU Edwardsville. Auburn, same thing, slow start, crushes Alabama State. And then the real first sort of upset, at least in terms of seeding, right? 12-5. McNeese beats Clemson by 2. And if you just saw the final score, that was super-duper cosmetic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Clemson...
had 13 at half, Gil.
They had 13. It was 31-13 at the half in favor of the Cowboys of McNeese State. I don't know why we never say state anymore with McNeese. But they led 31-13, McNeese did at the half, then 40-16. They led by 24 4 minutes into the second half. They led by 17 with 4.5 minutes left in the game. 17. I mean, this thing is Katie bar the door, right? And then Clemson made 4 threes in the last minute to just get that game, just soar that game over. But McNeese, even though they win by 2, were never really in jeopardy. But that was the first big upset of the day. And then BYU, I think, I don't know how much of this was a surprise, because a lot of people loved VCU, but we knew this was a bad matchup in terms of, for both teams, right, that they ended up having to play each other. By halftime, BYU had a double-digit lead against VCU, and it was kind of over early in the second half. BYU ends up winning by 9. The biggest no-show of the day was Georgia. Georgia, I don't know if you know this, but the NCAA tournament started yesterday. Georgia trailed 20.
That was a comical one, yeah.
I want to get this right. 27-3 and 30-5. Is that good?
Not great, Bob.
Gonzaga ends up winning by 21 in a runout. Tennessee blasts Wofford. Arkansas-Kansas was a pretty good game. So these are the night games. Arkansas-Kansas, pretty good. It was kind of back and forth. And then Arkansas had the flurry at the end. The kid from Kansas goes out with the Achilles. Adams does. And then you're like, oh, boy. And Arkansas ends up winning that, which was big for a survivor for me. A&M over your Yale Bulldogs, which was never really a tight game.
It teased us at the end.
Yale teased it a little bit, but it wasn't really.
It would have been an amazing cover. Like, it would have been a horrible bad beat if they ended up getting home.
I had the plus 7.5, and I was like, we still have a shot at this, and it didn't get there. But they were never in, you know, never chance of them winning.
Yeah, but Gil, you brought this up a few weeks ago. You know, the end of that game, I got upset. When did these college kids stop trying hard? I usually get angry about the college kids trying too hard and foul until the very last second, and they kind of let it go at 9 seconds left.
Yeah, well, in the day, I mean, 9 seconds. I mean,
it was right there. Yeah,
Drake over Mizzou was kind of like Arkansas over Kansas. It was, you know, like Arkansas sort of had it, and then they wobbled, and then they sustained it at the end. Same thing with Drake; they had it, they wobbled, but they were able to outlast Mizzou at the end of that game. And then the night finished. UCLA ended up crushing Utah State. St. John's, after a slow start, crushes Nebraska Omaha. The capper at the end was Texas Tech beats UNC Wilmington, a game UNC Wilmington squad by 10. But Michigan UC San Diego lived up to the hype after Michigan just, you know, flurry at the beginning. They went up 10-0 before you could blink.
Yep.
And then, you know, everybody on Twitter, I told you this was going to happen. You were right to be upset about your UCSD play. Michigan's crushing them. There's no way they were ever going to lose this game. And UC San Diego was awesome in the second half. That was a great display. They tied it up late, and the real sort of whimper at the end, because the last possession sucked.
Yeah, what were they doing?
That was a terrible success. But they were doing that whole thing where they had, you know, they had both Wolf and Golden on, you know, they had bigs on guards, and the guards would do the step back and nail these threes, UCSD, and then at the end it didn't work out on the final possession. So Michigan, for some, got the cover. But, you know, we look at these from all different perspectives. Hope your brackets went okay. Our VEASAN bracket challenge, I went 5-5. What did you do? I was very middling on the bracket.
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, yeah. So I got 10.
I'll check after today.
I got 10 more plays today. Do we have that graphic, by the way?
Yeah.
10 more plays? So this is, again, VEASAN's bracket challenge. I hope everybody was able to get in. I know we promoted it a whole bunch on the run-up to the deadline yesterday, and we might have crashed that site yesterday with all the people trying to get in there. But we ended up with, like, was it the last hour? We had tons of sign-ups for this. So, yeah, 5-5 for me yesterday.
You didn't purposely split it up 10-10, did you?
I did not purposely split it up 10-10. I'm missing a check mark, by the way. I'm lacking a check mark there. Where did you guys shortchange me? You shortchanged me a check mark somewhere on there. But anyway, 5-5. And so today, what's left for me? I am on Carolina versus Ole Miss. These are contest plays. Liberty plus the points against Oregon. Grand Canyon plus the points against Maryland. Memphis plus the points against Colorado State, but as I'll explain in a minute, I have conflicts all over the place in that game. Robert Morris, Alabama, over 166.5, and then I have Alabama laying the points against Robert Morris. So I just hope Alabama goes crazy and it's an over, it's a correlated thing. And then on the right side here, I got the Florida Norfolk State under, the Grand Canyon Maryland over, so I'm also not only Grand Canyon plus the points, but I want the over there. And what else here? Oklahoma plus the points against UConn. Iowa State laying the 2 touchdowns despite not having Keyshawn Gilbert against Lipscomb. By the way, the discrepancy there is you gave me an X by the St. John's under. That should be a check mark. So 5-5 is what I was yesterday. But to win a VEASAN bracket challenge against other VEASAN folks, because there's a VEASAN category with, I think, 54 of us, and then there's the big pool of folks who are doing it. And by the way, when we do the big, you know, you can't really update the standings after day one of the round because some people have played all 20 games and some people have played seven games. So you don't really know what the standings are until tomorrow. So those are my remaining 10 plays in the bracket challenge, fade or follow. The reason that I say that, and by the way, I did add one ATS play for round two. Round two will have 10. The one play I actually have in pocket, I took McNeese plus the points. The aforementioned McNeese State Cowboys. Again, when you look at these teams, they beat Clemson, even though they crushed them, it only ends up a 2-point win. But now they have Purdue, they're catching 6. And when you look at, like, you know, McNeese's performance against other top 100 teams, so in addition to that game yesterday against Clemson, even though they didn't win a bunch of them, they were always competitive. They lost by 8 to Alabama in an away game. They beat North Texas by 7 at home. They lost to Liberty by 4 on a neutral. They lost to Santa Clara by 7 at home. They lost to Mississippi State only by 3 on a neutral, and then the Clemson win yesterday, where, again, it was only a 2-point win, but it should have been way more than that, obviously, on a neutral. So I like McNeese State plus the 6 against Purdue. Purdue had all kinds of trouble covering yesterday. So that's my one play in pocket, and then I'm thinking about adding Creighton plus the points against Auburn.
I haven't bet anything. That's the biggest one sticking out to me is Creighton. I mean, you can get 9.5 points right now. That's pretty juicy.
Survivor yesterday was great. Again, my Survivor, three entries. You're allowed. Hey, thank you for football season. There you go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Darnell. This is one where I have three entries, right? You have a max three entries, and you're allowed one rebuy, one mulligan before the Sweet 16. So I went 2-3 yesterday. I hit on Arkansas. I hit on Drake. My third entry was UCSD. It's all seeding rewarded, too, when it comes to tiebreakers and in terms of the standings. So that's why I'm taking the longer seeds, right? So I rebought on the UCSD with Colorado State today, even though I have Memphis in this bracket challenge. So I'm all confused in that game, right? I don't even know what I want. I probably want my survivor to win. So the re-entry, which I'm one and done on, I took Colorado State. And the other two where I had Drake and Arkansas, I ended up taking Carolina and Xavier. So that's how I'm playing my survivor. But again, you have to know the rules of your survivor, because if I didn't have upset rewarded or longer seeds, or what do we call it now? Higher, lower seeds? Fairly intelligent person. Still can't figure out higher and lower seeds. Those are lower seeds, right? No, those higher
seeds. Higher seeds.
Are they higher seeds?
I don't know.
No,
man.
They're lower seeds.
You and I should never have these conversations.
I take the lower seeds. There's the graphic. The graphic will display it right there. There we go. So there you see my one loss, but now I'm going. So yesterday was a 12, 11, and 10. The 11 and 10 seeds got through. Today I'm going 12, 11, and 11. And if I'm lucky enough to win all or some of those, then I will probably get a little more conservative starting at round number two. But that's how I play my survivor.
I'm on. I always got you on the over-under on draft positions. Yeah. This one, no, there's no right way on that. Okay, I'm on with you, North Carolina survivor today. Let's go.
This is the. Oh, you got one entry. You went,
I got one. Yeah,
what'd you do yesterday?
Gonzaga yesterday got through.
The beauty of the madness. There's so many ways to play this. Actual bets, brackets, contests, survivor, coming back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out a full breakdown of today's first round games. Greg Hoops, Peterson, best bets in college hoops, and Steve Mackinnon's first round trends. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best bets in the NBA, Adam Burke's college hoops bets, and Josh Applebaum's college basketball sharp report. To get access to all the articles and betting guides on VSiN.com, right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Matt at Warrior 13. I like that. Warrior 13. Good morning, Gil. Or he goes, good morning, Gil. What movie was that, Robin Williams? Good morning, Vietnam. Good morning, Gil. It's the most wonderful time of the year, he says, with the music. The VSiN Live Bracket Challenge is tough. It's hard enough picking tourney games straight up. But pick 20 games against the spread in the first round? I started 0-2, he said, and he rallied to a respectable 7-4. 7-4 is more than respectable. That's very good. Larry Fresh, who was kind enough to give me a Chipotle gift certificate.
That's right, both of us.
Yes. Both of us, yeah. He says, I'm ranked to 113th after day one. How'd y'all do? Oh, he went 9-4. Yeah, it's tough with the standings. Again, I think I just checked. I'm 23rd. We're tied. You're right with me. We're right in the middle. We're just like, as our records are, we're right in the middle. We're like 23rd or something.
So, out of 54. 5-5-ish?
I'm 5-5. I can't. You're right there too. You're 5-5 or 5-6 or something like that. But that's you can't really judge the standings again because some people have played 20, some people have played 5, so you can't. You don't know how it shakes. Ours just happened to be 10. But good for you, Larry. 9-4 is outstanding. Tronsky, temperature check. Meat locker in there today? No, it's nice. 68.8 degrees Fahrenheit.
I haven't gotten it to it yet.
I don't know what that is, Celsius.
I'm going to bump it up a couple degrees in the next break.
I'm going to effort getting it to you in Kelvin a little later on. Stuart Carlin, glad I was not able to get into the Hoops Challenge contest on mostly dogs yesterday, and the favorites barked loudly. I'd probably be in last place after day one. Maybe not last. New York Football Giants 42, Steve. He says, I forget which guest offered Houston team total over 77.5, but I tailed. That was the most stressful win I've had in a long time. Who was the guest who had Houston?
Oh, I have no idea. No, sorry, I was thinking as you were reading the tweet, we got so many bets this week, I could not tell you.
There was some stuff we were supposed to do. Brendan was just telling me, we're like, it's the madness. We can't start new stuff this week. Los Vegas 514 was here after the show yesterday. Double yo, he said, pleasure meeting you, Gil, and an exuberant young Kelly Bidlin. Appreciate you taking time out to take a flick and have a quick conversation. You both are class acts.
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
Great meeting you, Los. Great meeting you. Brad Billups, Arkansas, first 10 and 15. Any other non-side total picks with good value? Oh, I don't know. He's like, was that Arkansas yesterday? Or are you talking about Arkansas moving forward? Table Max, props to Kelly for bringing out the Mad Men. Not great, Bob, in the first segment. I didn't think you had it in you, and I mean that. Wow.
He drives
it home with you. I didn't think you had it in you, and I mean that.
Oh, man. All right.
I usually save this for Monday, the Monday after the first and second rounds.
Can't find this horse race, Chris Felica.
Chris Felica coming on the show later, and one of his plays is a horse. Chris is one of these guests who will often let you know what he's betting beforehand.
Yes, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But we're not good with horse racing, so I'm like, I need track, race number, date, time.
Oh, sure, make us a weed. You hear that? He's like, we're not good. No, you handle that.
All right, it's just me. I thought it was going to get done during the break.
Nope. Bro, it is me. I could never find that.
I'll wait.
This week Kelly's joined during the show. All right. I usually wait till Monday to do this because you have 4 days worth of this. But yesterday, I want to go through most ridiculous things announcers said. I do it for a full weekend.
Oh,
usually.
God.
I'll save these. I'll start on Monday with these two. But I just want to give a couple samplings of this. This is Steve Lapis, the color guy in the McNeese-Clemson game. So McNeese was way up, but then McNeese was only up. They ended up 6 points with 19 seconds left in the game, and Clemson had the ball. And as Clemson is dribbling the ball frantically up court, Steve Lapis goes, quote, you need a three here because you need two threes. It's like it's very good math on your part. Deb Antonelli, she did the color for the Gonzaga-Georgia game. This is in the first 8 games of the 16, the first half of the day yesterday, which was less March Madness than it was March Meh-ness.
Yeah.
She goes, this is 8 minutes left in the Gonzaga-Georgia game. Remember, we were just talking about how it was 30-5 at one point. So Gonzaga's up 24 in the game she's doing. The average margin of victory in the first 8 games ended up being just shy of 17 points.
Oof.
And only because the Clemson-McNeese game ended up artificially close that it wasn't even that low. And Deb, as Gonzaga's up 24 in her game, she goes, oh, the madness of day one. We're not even halfway through the day. This is great. I'm like, is it great? Is it? Anyway, I'll have like a ton of those on Monday as the announcers say ridiculous things on this. To tennis. Can we do tennis before we do? Mm-hmm. Are we sure?
Yeah.
Real quick, only one tennis play day. So 2 days ago, we hit a plus 237 dog on Yulia Grabher. So we had a winning day 2 days ago. Yesterday, we went 3-1.
There you go.
3-1, including a plus 170 on Magdalenette. So the earth has returned to its axis after the horror that was Indian Wells. Today, I don't ever remember, Kelly, a day with so many matches where I found so little value. Only one. Miomir Kecmanovic, plus 122 versus Casper Ruud. That's the only play I have in Miami men's or ladies' side. I thought briefly about playing Alexandra Ayala at like $3.50 versus the hamburger, Elena Ostapenko, but I decided not to. Didn't have enough pedigree to do that. But Kecmanovic, plus 122 versus Casper Ruud, the one play in tennis. And Naomi Osaka, our other play, which is our future, which you tailed, right? You're on,
yep,
Osaka?
Yeah.
Did you do quarter and tournament?
Just quarter.
Okay.
Just quarter.
What'd you end up with her on quarter? I have 7-1.
14.
Look at you. Double mine. Oh. Where'd you go? Stations?
Stations.
How much did they let you bet there?
I'll put like $50 on it.
A dime and a nickel. Not those dimes and nickels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's that from? Was that a same song? Same song. What's the group from the Bay Area? All around the world, same song. What's the guy died? Humpty? Digital Underground. Thank you, guys. Miramir Kecmanovic is the play, but Naomi Osaka won her second round match. Remember, she played a quali in the first round. She was down 5-love. Before you could blink, she was down a set and a break, and then she decided to start playing tennis. She won the first round match. Yesterday, she crushed. We had Naomi yesterday. She crushed Ludmila Samsonova in straight sets. And so now she moves on to the third round, where she's like a minus 350 favorite against Hayley Baptiste. After that, she'll play either Paolini or Jabeur. She should win that, too, at which point you will only need, and I will only need, one more win to win the quarter, which will probably be Coco.
Well, let's go.
But I think she can beat Coco too. And then after that, you know, for the whole kit and caboodle of 66-1 or whatever you got the championship, I got her for the championship too. Then it's, you know, then it's the Sabalenkas and the Swiateks of the world, and we'll see about that. But she got a legit shot here in what the reason I made the bet, because it's a very easy quarter.
Yeah, price getting way shorter on hers now. She's 30-1 to win it all. Okay. Your girl Iga out to 450 at DraftKings.
She hasn't even played yet. I don't know why she's out to 450. I might play that now.
This kind of happened with Indian Wells too, where like every day, I'm assuming, depending on when they played, Sabalenka and Iga would like bounce back and forth of who the favorite was.
Did I tell you I got Ben Wilson in the Survivor? Did I tell you what his entry name is? I can't say it on air.
Yes, you did tell me what it is.
But it has to do with Swiatek. Let me just say that in tribute to me. All right. Are we want to play Estamos Seguros?
Yes.
Are we sure? Non-football version. What do we got?
We sure. Duke should be the favorite to win the tournament since obviously the ACC sucks.
Yeah, because I think they're above the ACC fray. I don't know if they should be the only favorite, but they should be among the short shots for sure. The very short list of short shots, as per the formula.
As per the formula. Yeah. There you go. Are we sure someone can take down these number one seeds?
What does that question mean? Are we sure that someone... Oh, you mean before the Final Four?
Yeah.
Meaning we won't have a 1-1-1-1 Final Four? I'm not 100% sure of that. It could very well be 1-1-1-1. But, you know, likely not. When was the last time? 2008, the last time we had four number one. So it's historically, it's not likely. So it's still a favorite not to happen, meaning we should be sure that that one of them will get torpedoed.
We knew they were strong coming in. They looked good yesterday so far.
Yeah.
All right. Are we sure?
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin will break Wayne Gretzky's goal record this season.
Yes, I think we are. What did Ovechkin do last night? Another
scored one?
One.
Yep, another one. Seven away now.
Put another biscuit in the basket. Seven away from the NHL record. He's got 888. What is it? Six. What is it? Six to tie, seven to go ahead now? Is that what we said? Yeah, six to tie, seven to break it.
I don't want to be the negative guy here, but the odds are getting, I think it's minus 180 that he's going to break it. You get like plus 130 or something for him not to. There's not that many games left.
Talking about this year, breaking.
Yeah, this season.
Yeah.
They have 13 games left.
Yeah, they might not.
That's a lot. All right. Yeah. Are we sure Cam Ward will be the first overall pick?
I think we're sure of that. And the betting market reflects it, right? He's over minus 1,000 now. It just feels like in any scenario, he's the number one play, trade or not.
Yeah, minus 1,100 now at MGM.
Whether he'll be good or not is another question.
Are we sure Shedeur Sanders is the second best quarterback in the draft?
I am not sure. I've said this many times. I don't know that Jackson Dart's not as good or better. I'm not sure. Projecting college quarterbacks to the pros is the most inexact science there is, except when there's a Jaden Daniels type who's played 17 years in college, right? Or Bo Nix, who Bo Nix, by the way, I didn't even think was going to be good. But these guys like Shedeur, there's no lock there. We're not sure.
I made a bet yesterday.
Was that the last? Are we sure?
I guess so, yeah. MGM put up number two, odds to go number two overall.
Yeah.
Threw a dart on old Jackson Dart at 80-1 to go number two.
I see what you did there. How much? What's your number?
80-1.
80-1. Good luck. Not impossible. What is that? Non-zero chance.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back. Jason Weingarten, all his bets. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost. It's the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. I want to thank everybody for stopping by after every one of our shows. Yesterday was, obviously with March Madness, was more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's so cool, man. And we're super humbled by everybody coming by and saying hello. And so thank you to everybody who either, you know, is here organically and they say hi, or people who make trips to say hi. I was always tripped out by that at the South Point. I was like, man, y'all drove out here for the, you know. So I just want to thank everybody. The Los tweet reminded me of that, but everybody's so cool. You know what I did after the show? After the show yesterday, I went over to Virgin.
Yeah, you did.
what does that mean?
Did Crack put that video on social?
Oh, I don't know if he did. I don't know if I think it was just for you.
Just for me?
I think so.
That was one of my favorite videos ever.
So Virgin has this no juice thing, right?
Yeah.
No juice same day. That was yesterday and today. First round of the NCAA tournament. No juice bets on sides same day. So, and I'm sure this will come up with Fezzik later. Like it's, I know I blame.
It's in his notes, yes.
It's going to come up later. He wants to talk about it. But I went over there, so I made five no juice bets, went 3-2, right? I'm going again today right after the show. I'm like, get me back out there.
Did you sign up for rewards program? Did you get the app, any of that or so, no?
Yeah, you go right. Well, I didn't get the app or anything, but I went right to the cage. And you know, they're like ID, whatever. They're like, oh, we have you in here. I'm like, is that the old Hard Rock database? They go, sure is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they have the old Hard Rock database. So they have your name in there if you went back in the day. So I was like, wow, that's amazing. So anyway, once you do that, you're able to make these no vig bets. And, you know, I would have expected the way that gamblers, bettors talk a big game. I would have expected it to be run over with human beings. Man, I don't know. I'm not good at counting crowds, but 40 tops?
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of the day, so I would imagine it tapered off as maybe it didn't taper off. I'm sure Fezzik will talk about that. But anyway, it was pretty interesting, and we'll get into it with Fezzik, some of the shenanigans. His crack was correct. They're going to mess this up. And yes, there was some stuff messed up. So I'm going back after the show. Hey, no vig? Sure.
I was thinking about going today, but I'm like, I don't have any bets to place, really. That's
the
problem. Well,
the main thing that, we brought this up yesterday, so I'll bring it up today. If you're really playing this correctly, because the lines are moving left and right the way they're doing it.
Right, right.
You're trying to side them on something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll take this three this way. Oh, I'll take this, you know, this 3.5 the other way. And so it's kind of like risk-free. And anyway, I don't think they get it. I don't think they get how to market it. And then secondly, I think it's so good of a promotion that they're going to get killed and they'll never do it again. That's what I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Oh, but it was great being back in that building. Anyway, Crack and I hung out. We were just eating up a storm up in the party upstairs. I didn't know there was a party. I was leaving, and Crack's like, "Hey, I'm upstairs. Come up." I'm like, "Oh."
He sent me a video of the VIP area wherever you guys were at, and it was like all these great carving stations and food stuff, and then just a hilarious in the background Gil at the bar, like placing bets, like it looked like some dude that just hangs out at the bar all the time. I'm dying laughing at this video.
Guy?
I'm like, I didn't see this coming. I thought it was just Crack showing off with the VIP area. It looked like, hey, there's Gil.
He goes, look at this guy, and then apparently, when I left, the shenanigans began, which we'll get into with Fezzik. Jason Weingart joins us from under a cloud of smoke. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He is newly engaged, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Not newly engaged, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, but he's on the radio, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Got March Madness underway. We're wrapping up spring training. It's, about a week from now, we're going to have actual opening day. So it's approaching rather quickly at this point.
Is opening day baseball for you what March Madness first day is for us? Like, is that how you feel opening day of Major League Baseball?
Not really, because you don't just bet every single game on opening day because there's baseball. Whereas March Madness, you're going to have a lot of action, you know, and a lot of things just because you're sitting there watching basketball. But no, opening day, it's always fun, it's enjoyable. Like, you get to talk baseball, you get to watch baseball, you get to do all baseball related activities. But in terms of betting, opening day is just one of what is now a very long season.
Yes, a very long season. 2,440 games or whatever it is. You don't have to go crazy day one. But it is interesting how, you know, with brackets, obviously 64 turns into 16, and then 16-4, so it goes away, it dissipates very quickly, and so baseball will be front and center in no time flat. Are you still betting spring training every day, or no?
Yeah, still following spring training. Last couple days haven't been particularly great, but it's been a decent season. I hope the Dodgers get back to playing some spring training games this week. I haven't had the Dodgers in my life. The 3 a.m. start times in Tokyo don't work for me.
But Jason is not a fan, Kelly. He wants you to know he's not a Dodgers fan, even though he talks about him all the time. He's not a Dodgers fan. Just want to make that clear.
Whatever, Niners fan.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. How did the madness treat you yesterday?
Not great. It was, you know, slightly average to negative most of the time. Trying to think what was really bad. Nothing really stands out. Just some of the bets didn't win that probably should have, but you know, that's basketball. I don't claim to be the best basketball bettor in the world, but I do enjoy it.
What did you bet today?
North Carolina, got North Carolina minus 125. Got my eye on Grand Canyon on the money line.
On the money line, I like it.
I'm really interested in some of the stuff I saw the coach from Maryland say this week. He was complaining about his athletic department and that they said they didn't have enough money to spend an extra night in New York. I don't know. I kind of caught me off guard, although I know they're playing in Seattle. So I got to go back and check what I was reading. But he was complaining about the athletic department and their budget and what they're spending, which is kind of funny. Grand Canyon's a for-profit school. It's a really weird university. I'm still not even sure it's a real university, but over 4-1's got my attention there. So that'll be, I think that's at, what is that, 1 o'clock, 1:30, that game today. So
yeah,
got a nice little Friday afternoon, 4.5-1 there. But my biggest bet is North Carolina. Not incredibly confident in it, but I don't like Ole Miss much here.
The Maryland thing. Let me ask if you have a friend or pack of friends like this, where it's like, so my buddies, they all went to Maryland. One of them was SVP's roommate in my group of buddies there. And they're so high on this Maryland team, right? Best Maryland team since they won the title in 2002. I think most people feel that way about this Terps team. But it is the Crab Five. They are very heavy loaded to the starting five. Of Reese Rice, Gillespie, Miguel, and of course Queen, and my friends are the type of, these three guys are the type of people that will have their hopes dashed in a heartbeat in a tournament like this. They're just those folks, and this has nothing to do with the actual game. But first of all, I'm on Grand Canyon, bust the points. But like, if Maryland got beat, it would be the most them thing ever. Because you're like, because that just that kind of stuff will happen to them. The disappointment in a March Madness bracket. I don't know. Maybe you have friends like that as well. I am on Grand Canyon. I'm in the contest. I have a bet on them plus the points. I have them in the VSiN bracket challenge. I'm also on the over here in the VSiN bracket challenge, 150.5. Grand Canyon is good. They can, and they really run the court well, and they can shoot as well. So I just wonder if they wear down Maryland with that short depth that the Terps have.
They don't have to worry about going to class because, as far as I know, they don't even have actual classes there. They're all online. So
talk about Grand Canyon now.
Canyon, yeah. No, Maryland's got a real university, as far as I know.
I thought it was an online school too, like a couple of years ago.
When Todd and
maybe it's half and half, Jason.
Like classes, but I can assure you that none of the basketball players attend them.
When Todd and I went to the West Coast Conference tournament game, it was Grand Canyon against Texas, was it UTA they played, Texas Arlington. And when we were buying the tickets, we were like, is the school actually in the canyon? That's where we were. And the guy was like, it was like the Zach Galifianakis thing. And this is where Caesar's actually lived.
This
is where Caesar actually lived. Anything else besides those two in hoops, or anything else you're betting?
Yeah, I got a couple MLB futures I took this week, some new ones. AL Rookie of the Year, I got Marcelo Mayer 50-1. I see 50-1 down to 35-1 this week. Looks like he's got a chance of getting the second base job coming out of camp. So if he does win that job, you'll see that 50-35 number drop probably lower to 10. He's good. He was fourth pick in the MLB draft a couple of years ago, played shortstop, might slide over, play second base this year for the Red Sox. The other bet I made is Tomoyuki Sugano to win the Cy Young, 775-1 at Circa. He's down to the 300s now. Won the MVP in Japan last year. He's 35 years old. I know it's a long, long shot, but...
Oh, we lost Jason right at the end there. Breaking up. We'll review that for you on the other side. Jason, after the engagement, he's back in baseball. Full steam now. There's his futures. We'll repeat those after the break. Dr. Bob next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Horse racing fans, get ready. VSiN's bringing you right to the heart of the action. It's VSiN at the track. You know about this, Kelly? The road to the Kentucky Derby. Today and every Friday leading up to the Triple Crown. With two more Derby prep races coming up on Saturday, we're handicapping those races and looking at the top contenders for this year's Run for the Roses. Join horse racing experts Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman today, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, on the VSiN YouTube channel at VSiN Live. Whether you're a seasoned handicapper or just getting into the sport of kings, we've got everything you need to prepare for this year's Derby. Don't miss VEASAN at the Track, streaming live today, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, on the VEASAN YouTube channel at VEASAN Live as we count down to the Triple Crown. And that's how this goes, right? March Madness gives way to the Masters, which gives way to the NFL Draft, baseball happening in the background, our sports, tennis and golf all throughout, and then the Derby, right? The first Saturday in May, first leg of the Triple Crown.
Samo bombs every Friday.
Samo bombs.
Love it.
We get tweets at Beat the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Nikki Betts 303. He's in the VEASAN Bracket Challenge. He says, "I know it's early, but am I really in 18th place? Let's go. First prize $3,000. He's 11-5 out of the chutes. Jamie Leva, dropping money beelines is one of the many reasons I love this show. Does a young svelte Kelly know Tupac started his career as a stage dancer for Digital Underground? Have a fantastic weekend, gentlemen."
Oh, you know what? I think I did know that.
Kelly Lyon. Broke Dad. Maybe you did. Nah, why wouldn't
I couldn't have named the I could not have named it was Digital Underground. I can tell you that.
Broke Dad. On this Fezzik Friday, has the research team found the Love Connection episode yet? No, we have not.
Hey,
I spent
a good 7 minutes trying, though.
Okay? I spent a good six. Yeah, I can't find
so
it.
So 13 combined minutes.
If you can find Fezzik and on Love Connection, what's the prize again? They go to the sushi spot with me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or I'll just flat send you money, too. Like
yeah.
That's
cancer-free from stage four, NHL since May. Congratulations, by the way, cancer-free. Cam Ward at about minus 1,000 to go number one. Nope. If he goes number one, I'll be cashing a 7-1 ticket I made December 12th. Good for you.
Well, 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 while we're bragging about that, I'll be cashing minus 190 that I got a whole $30 on at Caesars Sportsbook. Thanks, Caesars.
You need security out of it?
When you win it? I'm going to need that. Yeah, I'm going to need
that. Get this man security. Mario Las Vegas did not have Gil dropping a Digital Underground featuring Tupac's same song reference in my bracket today. And then Buddhist Man, what you know about Digital Underground, Kelly Bidlin? R.I.P. Shock G, the one who put the satin in your panties. That's what he writes right there. Okay, let's get to the man who is, again, I call him a pioneer in the business. He prefers, I believe one time he said legend. He hates that I keep bringing that up. It's the great Dr. Bob, everybody, at Dr. Bob Sports, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right. Embarrassed me with my legend. The one time I said legend just as a sort of an off-the-cuff thing. Yeah. And now I'm a cocky jerk, you know.
Listen, Bob, I don't know if you know how this works, but these are recorded. We actually have evidence of these things.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I said legend once and I can never live it down.
Sorry. I won't say I'll never bring it up again, though. I won't make that promise because it might come up again. Listen, it's a compliment. You're a pioneer, for God's sakes. I know you hate that it makes you sound old, but you are. In terms of predictive modeling of sports, how did the first day of March Madness treat you in terms of your bets?
Pretty good. I'm 8-4 so far. That's NIT and NCAA tournament combined. So far, so good.
What did you have in the dance yesterday?
Yesterday, my goodness, let's see.
I'm sorry. I hate when these segments surprise you. I apologize.
Yeah, I lost with I picked A&M, which won. Lost with Georgia. They got crushed.
They didn't show up. That was such a no-show by them.
Yeah, I had easy win with the Utah State UCLA under, and then I had Purdue for a win, BYU for a win, and Louisville got crushed. So the two I lost were bad, but yesterday the four I won were all solid.
Well, you know, when you get blown out, I remember you saying many times to Hateration on email, hey, it still counts as only one loss. Doesn't matter what the margin is.
You don't lose five times as much just because you lost. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, and one of my other losses was also really bad. So of the four losses, three of them were like ridiculously bad. But you know, so I've got eight wins, so that's all that counts.
What might you be willing to share today? What do you have today?
Yeah, a couple. I like Iowa State. The line's down to 14 against Lipscomb. I think the market is overreacted to Iowa State's point guard Keyshawn Gilbert being out. Backup Nate Heiss is actually, as far as evaluating plays, box score plus minus, he's better in his statistical components than Gilbert. And also an actual plus minus, the Iowa State Cyclones have been better with Heiss on the court than they have been with Gilbert on the court. So I think there's been an overex. I do think there is some value to Gilbert, because then, you know, you get in the backup of the backup sort of situation. So there are some minutes when Heisen and Gilbert are both not on the court, and those are negative, but it's not as negative as the market thinks. And I just think this is a good matchup for Iowa State. So I have them by 17.5. The line's only 14. So I jumped on Iowa State and still good value. In fact, I laid 14.5 because I thought the line was going to go up.
Wow.
I went down to 14. So a rare one where the line went against me.
I did not make a bet on that, but I have it as one of my plays in the VEASAN Bracket Challenge. I like that. Iowa State, despite not having Keyshawn Gilbert, Bob thinks that should be even higher. So he has made a bet on the Cyclones. What's the other one?
The other one is Oregon against Liberty. Oregon's been playing really well of late. They had won 8 straight games before losing to Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. No shame there. But it's not uncommon for Oregon under Dana Altman to rally late in the season. He tends to get his rotation just right later in the season. He plays a lot of players early in the year generally, and then by the time February rolls around, late February, he kind of dials it in. Since 2012, so this is basically the Dana Altman era, in game number 28 or more of the season, Oregon is 71-37-4 against the spread, 40-21-1 against the spread in the postseason, and 17-6 against the number in NCAA tournament games. And the current rotation, the way I rate rotations, is about 1.5 better than the season rotation. And I have the Ducks by 10. I think Liberty's a little overvalued. So I have the Ducks by 10, and they're favored by – they were 6.5 when I released it. That one is up to 7. So that's
wow.
Oregon minus 7.
All right. Liberty, an even more popular dog than Lipscomb is. Everybody seems to have Liberty plus the points. But they do say, even when they take liberties, I'm going against Dane Altman. So they anecdotally.
Silly in the postseason.
Silly.
I mean, late in the season, Oregon, almost every single year, is really good late in the season. So,
what other things do you do, Bob, personally, besides, you know, making your bets and you're giving your bets out to clients? You're in a bunch of pools. Are you in a survivor pool? What do you do this time of year?
No, I'm in a pool that I've been with friends for 30 years, you know, like a 150 person sort of thing. That's about it. I used to be in some bigger pools, but I just kind of just make it simple and, just have the one pool that I'm in, and I have a couple entries, one for me, one for my wife, one for my son. My son is Action Jackson. He tends to be a wild card.
One for my son. Your son is how old?
He's almost 8.
Is he making his picks, or are you making them for him, Bob?
Occasionally I will ask him, who do you like between this and this? He has no idea, and then I just put down, you know, whatever he says. That's why he's a wild card. So basically, in one pool, my gut says Florida is going to win it all.
That was my next question, because I know you do projections.
Yeah,
like that.
My Duke is my highest rated team if Cooper Flagg is 100%. My gut says Florida. They remind me of Connecticut, just good in every area. Good, and they have the makeup of a team that should do well in the NCAA tournament. But the public loves Florida too. I'm not the only one. And then so. The value, when I'm filling out your bracket, I look at what the nation's doing. I look at ESPN or Yahoo and check out what everybody's picking, and I compare it to my chance of making each round, and there's negative value in Florida. There's no value in it. So if you take a team like Florida, I always say just make sure you put some variance somewhere else in your bracket, with value to differentiate yourself, like take Iowa State to make the Final Four or something like that. So I Duke's my highest rated team. If Cooper Flagg's 100%, I just got my said Florida. So I took Florida, and I for the first time ever, I took all number 4, number 1 seeds. I just think it's a chalky tournament.
That sort of answers Kelly's question from earlier.
Bob's sure.
Hey, Bob is sure. we do a segment called Are We Sure? And one of the questions was, are we sure that any of the top seeds will be beaten before the Final Four? And I mentioned it hasn't happened since 2008, but it's a better answer from you than it is from me.
It's just, I've never had that before. And it's just one of those years. I just think the top 4 teams are all just, there's a separation. Unlike I've seen in other years, they're clearly better than the fifth team, which is, probably your Tennessee, Alabama-ish kind of team. three points better than the fifth team, which is, I've never seen that. So
all right.
I just, that's the way it worked out, and that's what I took. So
predictive sports modeling pioneer, legend, vanguard, trailblazer, forerunner, Dr. Bob. Thank you, Bob.
All right, good luck today.
Valika, next.